Isn't it great to be in God's house this morning?
Amen.
God, you guys are getting really good at this. I invite you to join me as we go to God in prayer. Holy, loving, living, marvelous God, we thank you. We thank you that you love us unconditionally, and there's not a thing we can do about it. We thank you for celebrations, and we thank you that you walk with us through deep valleys. We thank you for your house that is always open to us. And so, Lord, in this moment, help us to open our ears, to open our eyes, and to open our hearts, that we may receive your word for your people in this place. Lord, hide me. Hide me, Lord, behind your cross, for I want only you to be seen, and only your words to be pronounced. And I sit down, Lord, if I'm not the one to bring it, for I desire only you to be lifted up. And Lord, may we be changed in some way by your prophetic word. So I ask, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for we, your children, long to hear your voice. Amen. I want to do something a little differently this morning. I don't want you to take out your Bible. No, don't gasp. It's okay. I want you to be in a posture of listening. If you would like to close your eyes, that's fine. Do whatever you need to so you can really hear. I'd like for you to imagine in your mind that you are back in old times, in the times of the Hebrew text, in the times when it wasn't the hustle and bustle of today. If you can see in your mind a stone altar with lampstands that are lit by oil, and there's a small boy on a mat lying there. The word of God from 1 Samuel. And I bring to you the word using the Message translation. The boy Samuel was serving God under Eli's direction. This was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. One night, Eli was sound asleep. His eyesight was very bad. He could hardly see. It was well before dawn. The sanctuary lamp was still burning. Samuel was still in bed in the temple of God, where the chest of God rested. Then God called out, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel answered, "Yes, I'm here." Then he ran to Eli, saying, "I heard you call. Here I am." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so the boy did. God called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli. "I heard you call. Here I am." Again, Eli said, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." This all happened before Samuel knew God for himself. It was before the revelation of God had been given to him personally. God called again, "Samuel," the third time. Yet again, Samuel got up and went to Eli. "Yes, I heard you call me. Here I am." That's when it dawned on Eli that God was calling the boy. So Eli directed Samuel, go back and lie down. If the voice calls again, say, speak, God. I'm your servant, ready to listen. Samuel returned to his bed. Then God came and stood before him exactly as before, calling out, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel answered, speak. I'm your servant, ready to listen. The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Have you ever noticed in a room full of small children or infants or babies that may be crying, that mothers can tell when their baby's crying? They know instinctively that it's their baby. And if you notice that in a room full of children, if the mother calls, that child knows that it's their mother. It's something special that happens to young children, either in the womb or shortly after birth, where they can distinguish their parents' call from other parents. I did an experiment once when I was teaching. The teacher that I was partnered with became pregnant. So I stopped, talked to the baby every day. I would lean down and say, hello, baby. Now, she thought I had lost my mind, which all of you have wondered that too in the last 7 weeks, I'm sure. And the answer is yes. And I would just talk to the baby all the time. I went to visit Suzanne shortly after the baby was born. I walk in the room and I say, hello, Suzanne. Now, I'm not exaggerating. The baby turned and looked at me. Now, I'm not sure what the baby was thinking. Probably, here's that crazy woman. Get the voice away. But because, and you've seen pregnant mothers, they talk to the baby. In fact, they're encouraged to do that. It's something about recognizing the voice that had been talking to you all that time that the baby learns to recognize it. God desires the same connection with us, that we would recognize God's voice above all the din and all the clamor of the world. There's some irony in this text that I didn't realize until I started preparing for the day. Did you catch the phrase, visions were rare in those days? Does that sound familiar to you all? It sounds familiar to me. Visions are rare in those days. You notice that Eli's sight was dimming. He was becoming blind. And yet Samuel was young and he could not see the Lord. The lampstand, this is what they lit in the ark, in the room where the ark was. They lit it in the evening and kept it lit. That was Samuel's job, to keep it lit all night long. And they would extinguish it in early morning. And the boy, whose eyesight was perfect, yet he could not distinguish God, he slept near the lamp. And the priest, who knew the voice of God, whose eyesight was dimming, slept away from the presence of God. Now, which one do you put yourself at? Are you Eli? Are you Samuel? You don't have to speak out loud. The Lord knows which one you is. Come talk to me after church. I'll be in my office. Just form a line. But you notice that Samuel has a desire, has an openness. And each time the Lord calls Samuel, he's mistaken, and he runs to Eli. You see, Samuel needed instruction. He needed someone who was a seasoned or mature disciple of God to teach him what that voice was, whose voice that was. He needed to be taught what to respond when the voice called. He was confused. He needed a guide. And he needed to know what to say to that voice, what the proper response was. If you read further in the text than what we stopped, Samuel was given a message to tell Eli. And it was a harsh message. It was to tell Eli that basically the gig was up. His lineage, his family was going to be destroyed because of what Eli's sons had done and Eli's failure to restrain his sons and get them back on the right path. And Samuel had to be taught how to speak the truth in love. Samuel had to be taught how to listen to the voice. Okay, what does that mean for us here today at Rehoboth? First of all, it means that we need to learn how to listen, how to place ourselves daily in the posture of listening, which means we need to learn how to be quiet, which is so difficult. I have the problem of being quiet. Y'all couldn't guess that, could you? That's where you say amen. It is so hard in our culture today to just be quiet for 10 minutes. Have you ever tried that when you're praying after you give your, what I call Santa Claus list to God? Here's what I want you to do, God. Have you ever took the time just to be quiet and hear what God has to say to you? It's really difficult. When I was a youth pastor many years ago, when I could stay up all night with them, we had what was called the two-minute drill. And for 2 minutes, we had to be silent. Oh, the first time I did that, you should have heard the rustling and the bustling. They couldn't get still. And the next time we did it, it got a little better. And the next time we did it, it got a little bit better. After a couple of months of doing this, what the students didn't realize is that 2 minutes became 2.5. 2.5 became 3, and finally, by the end of 2 months, it had become 10 minutes, where they just had to be quiet. So I did another experiment. I know experimenting on humans is not ethical, but hey, they were youth. I didn't do it one Sunday. They were okay. The next Sunday, they came bounding in as they did after we ate. And they said, hey, Pat, where's the two-minute drill? I said, what do you mean? They said, we missed it. So we started talking, and it was the only time in their week that they were given permission to just be still and quiet, and they had developed a desire for being quiet. And they developed the desire to learn how to listen. When was the last time you sat and just listen to God? Just listen. And let God talk to you and let God bathe your soul in silence. The other thing I gained from this scripture was sometimes God speaks through unlikely sources. Sometimes God will talk to us through the youth. Amen? Sometimes the youth and the children have something profound to say to us if we would stop and listen to them. That's why it's so important, the work we're doing to hire a youth minister. It's someone that can guide our youth, not only through their difficult teen years, but to guide them in being disciples that can speak the truth to us as the crotchety old adults that they think we are. And children speak the truth to us every day. For 6 or 7 years before I entered seminary, I taught 3-year-olds on Sunday morning at my home church. Now, I learned an awful lot about families on Sunday mornings. When mother picked us up, I said, hey, Mom, guess what I learned this morning? But I also learned a terrible, terrible lot about theology from 3-year-olds who knew God with all the trappings that we as adults have put on God. Listen to our little ones. They have a lot to tell us about God. So we need to probably be more open to listening to God from unlikely sources. We also can learn from this scripture is that discipleship requires that we be in conversation as a community, that we need in our lives those who are younger that we're mentoring in their walk with Christ, and we need to be mentored by someone who is more spiritually mature, whom we can ask questions, who can guide us from their experience. It's a community that takes us through those years of maturing in love of Christ. And did you notice that when you have an encounter with God, when you have an encounter with the living Christ, that it demands a response? Christ calls us to do something about our encounter. We can't just keep it with ourselves. We have to share it. That's why community is so important, is that as we grow together, as we discern together, as we learn how to listen and teach others how to listen, then we're called to do something about what we're heard. I have a question I want you to ponder. I invite you to ponder through the week. How do you daily put yourself in the posture to listen to Christ? How do you daily put yourself in the posture to listen to Christ? And what do you need to do to be a better listener? Amen? To God be the glory. Amen.